haunted cemeteries and acres of this mystic forest where they call it the land of the restless spirits. Bizarre goat-like creatures have been reported. It correlates with this idea that these ley line points, these energy pathways, are a place of significance for churches to establish dominance in the region, almost like what we talked about on Strange PA, Pete, where it kind of like generates like its pulsating energy and directing it maybe to places it naturally shouldn't go, where these defilements of the land have, let's say, charged up the region. There's a pecking order in the spirit, just like there's angels that are faithful to the Most High God. There's messengers, there's protectors, throne guardians. Well, also we know that Satan parallels that. He has his own fallen, weakened state of order. What if the larger establishments in the region, like a church on necropolises, ancient locations of the dead, are feeding some of these smaller reoccurring hauntings in the region, almost like it's a web. But why do reoccurring hauntings happen? Well, older houses are made of stone. So those natural materials, we know they can hold information. These houses or these lodges or these churches with these establishments, are they feeding into each other? My hypothesis on this connects to our heart being a door and gateway. We have this ability to allow things or to say, no, I'm shutting down shop. My region, my household, the land where my heel touches down is no longer going to be for the enemy. And this is where I believe repentance comes in.
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. Today, Rod Smith from the Millennial Mustard Seed joins me as we discuss weird Wisconsin. You know, we did an episode a while back where Rod is from Strange, PA, Strange, Pennsylvania, looking at some of the history of our respective states and some of the weird, supernatural, and spooky things that are related to these areas. And why do we do that? Well, there's a lot of shows out there that already talk about, you know, hauntings and ghost stories and all these sort of things. And our shows are really not just based on discussing those things per se. You know, you can certainly build a large audience talking about those things because they're very interesting. But the point of Rod and I bringing these things up is the fact that there are far too many of these stories out there around the world. It would be impossible to compile that. It would be tens of thousands of encounters with strange things, strange sightings, voices. And what does all that point to? It points to the fact that we are not, as the atheists say, a mere material being, that our world is made up of a lot more than we can see. There is a spirit world interacting with us. And all of that points to the reality of, as the Bible lays out, God, a supernatural spirit being, created a material world, and he also created a spirit world. And all of it points back to him, because at the name of Jesus, all of these entities that are against God, that hate humanity, they all tremble at the name of Jesus Christ. And he is the ultimate authority. So if anyone out there is or has dealt with these things and it has affected your life in some negative way, understand that Jesus is the authority over all of those entities, and get your heart and mind right with God and have that supernatural protection from him. Because with God's authority, these things cannot have influence. And yet, there are rules of engagement in the spirit world that allow these entities to be able to have influence. And so we do our best to live holy lives and close those doors that give access to demonic creatures. So I hope you guys find this episode interesting and edifying. It's always good to chat with my good friend Rod. And share this one with your family and friends. Pass it along, send a link, leave us a 5-star review. That does help as it gets the show seen by more people. And with that, let's get started. Welcome to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast, where we talk all things. Wait a minute. No, that's not my intro. Welcome to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. I'm your host, Pete. Not coming from PA, but Wisconsin today.
I think we're a little mixed up. This is Rod from the Days of Noah podcast.
Coming from Rod.
PA, not from Wisconsin. Oh my gosh.
You're doing the Days of Noah? I'm doing your show.
I thought we switched for a little bit, just for a couple days.
We did, because you have a bigger audience, so I figured I would just take yours if that's all right.
You're here. We have the same audience at the end of the day, man.
Oh, yeah, we do. Well, let's team up and do something together.
Okay, well, we'll just exchange for this show, I guess you could say.
That'll work.
All right, well, since I'm representing the Days of Noah podcast and all things weird happen in the Days of Noah, and we believe that they're happening again now. So we're going to talk about some interesting things today. You know, Pete, we did this strange PA episode a couple months back and definitely got some good feedback on that because each state has something weird going on. But we wanted to highlight the states that we live in with this mini series and see where it goes from there. But let's start this thing off, man. You live in Wisconsin. Let's just kind of lay a foundation for what's going on out there. How would you explain it to somebody who's never been there before?
Sure. Well, I think some of the things we'll talk about are pretty universal across the world and across the United States. So some of these things aren't going to be necessarily unique to Wisconsin, although a lot of the stories that we'll share come from here. But as we kind of go into those, we're going to try to pull out some spiritual principles that we see and some common ground that happen with that. Right. So, let's jump into some of these stories of weird Wisconsin. There's a lot of history there, and we're going to kind of set up these four principles of defilement on the land where, you know, in the cosmic rules of the spirit world that God set up and he is sovereign over, he created these rules, however they work. That's one of the things we try to discover on our shows, I think. Big shout out, of course, to Dr. Laura Sanger that Rod and I are both fans and friends of. She mentions the four areas principally of defilement on the land, which I think we did cover on the Strange PA episode. So there's broken covenants, idolatry, sexual perversion, and bloodshed. And those are areas where if these defilements happen, they can actually defile the land, and you might build your house or your business on that area and be affected by it. You know, how many times have we heard so-and-so was murdered in this house and now their ghost haunts it? Whether that's a ghost or a demon, who knows? But it seems to open the door to evil entities. So with those principles in mind, I think we'll kind of go through some stories and then we'll bring those back in and see how maybe they fit with some of the things that people see or experience in weird Wisconsin.
So Wisconsin has, like you said, Pete, a lot of history to it. And I mean, we could spend all day diving into stories because this land was occupied by American Indians prior to this American culture invading and occupying. But one thing I did want to point out is this is a weird one. The Lakeview Sanitarium It was constructed in the 1930s as a tuberculosis sanitarium. And there's something weird going on there, but I mean, when we get into anecdotal evidence, wouldn't it be interesting if we could, get somebody on that knows about that location in the future, possibly?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing a little bit more scouting, but there's always a deep rooted connection between the agreement of, especially like a hospital, like you have a board of people that have swallowed the lie of everything that's not God. They make an establishment in the region and a tuberculosis hub for people that were plagued by that time frame. Just reflecting, if you guys are reading in between the lines with me, looking at COVID in the last couple years, you could see that there's definitely some dark webbing and weaving going on there. But Pete, what's on the top of your list, as in like just rumor has it or like official things that are happening in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, so we'll try to construct a bit of a tapestry of both anecdotal and more principles that maybe we can pull out that, you know, invite the supernatural in not a good way, right? That give these creatures, entities, and spirits access. And we're not saying every story is true necessarily. You know, there's going to be a bit of speculation on our parts today, but take it for what it is. So why don't we start with just a few stories and a few bits of background. So shout out to Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology.com. He also has a podcast by that name. I got to chat with him on the phone for a bit a few nights ago, gave me some of his time. So thank you so much, Frank. And gave me some tidbits and some nuggets to pass along. So he's got some great stuff on his website, wisconsinology.com/the-weird, has a lot of articles, and we'll touch on a few of those in a moment. But I asked him, I said, Frank, why do you think Wisconsin has these stories? Where do they come from? What is the root of this? And he gave me two answers that I thought were profound. And this was someone, as I got to talk with him, who thinks these are just stories, who thinks this is kind of folklore and not, there's actually not much to it. We actually disagreed on, you know, he brought up Nephilim and giants, and we disagreed on that, and that's fine. But he still brought up these two things that I think resonate. Number one, Wisconsin has, according to him, the most effigy mounds, burial mounds, in the entire country by state. That was a surprise to me. I knew we had a lot. I thought maybe Ohio was first in that regard. And we'll get into what that means for the land. And number two, we had a huge influx of European immigrants in the last 150 years. And nothing wrong with that at all, of course. However, with a lot of different cultures comes a lot of different beliefs and practices, perhaps rituals, things that maybe they brought into the state that aren't so godly and maybe a bit pagan or opening doors to demonic influences. Frank mentioned a New York Post or New York Times, I forget, article in, I think, 1920, that 60% of Wisconsin households at that time spoke a different language with their family at home. So a lot of different influences there. And of course, you have, you know, a lot of Native American history as well, which, you know, there is, again, a lot of pagan practices as well. So that's a little bit of the background there. But let's get into some of these stories from Wisconsinology's website. So we have the author Robert Block, who is a fan and devotee of H.P. Lovecraft. And of course, Block's novel Psycho is what that movie was based on. So he was a Wisconsin native living 30 miles from Ed Gein, the serial killer. And again, just as we're on that point, you have Jeffrey Dahmer from the state, Charles Manson. So a lot of very dark history there. You also have the movie The Exorcist was based on the work of a priest here in Appleton, the exorcism of Emma Schmidt in 1928, gave the details for what became that story, The Exorcist. So then you have some of these stories from areas of Wisconsin. If you guys recall the Great Chicago Fire, well, a few days later was the Peshtigo Fire in Wisconsin. They didn't actually report on this until days later because the whole world was fixated on Chicago being, you know, such a well-known city. So here's an article on Frank's website, The Peshtigo Fire Demon. And so 150 years ago, the Great Peshtigo Fire happened. It remains the most destructive fire disaster in American history. And I remember learning about this growing up. We might have even taken a field trip there or something as in elementary school. In 1871, a massive line of tornadic firestorms swept across the parched northeast Wisconsin landscape, wiping out the thriving town of Peshtigo and covering an area that included Door County. And we'll have another anecdotal story about Door County as well later. Death toll remains unknown, but it's estimated 3,000 could have perished. In its wake, a macabre natural wonder, a fragile forest of ephemeral glass trees spun up from the sandy soil by the intense heat of the fire. In the 20th century, the Peshtigo paradigm, a formula to calculate the combination of wind, topography, and ignition sources that creates a firestone at the boundary between human settlements and natural terrain, was born and used to horrific effect in the Allied bombings of German and Japanese cities in World War II. That's interesting. Okay, so here's where it gets a little creepy. In its immediate aftermath, recently settled European peasant farmers in the counties surrounding had their own version of events. They say, and eyewitnesses say, the figure of a demon boy with a long fiery tail riding a large black multi-horned stag, spreading fire in his wake. Interesting. So who knows if they saw something like that, right?
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Again, I mentioned the history of this priest, Theophilus Reisinger, a Capuchin monk and most celebrated exorcist of the 20th century.
So here's something interesting with, you know, all the talk of ley lines and in the spiritual realm, you know, these entities wanting to hijack these energy pathways, if I can say it like that. Mysteries of Holy Hill, Wisconsin. So here is a church that receives at least 500,000 visitors from around the world each year. And it's been established by the Catholic faith for over 300 years, but it has some legends with it. There's haunted cemeteries and acres of this mystic forest where they call it the land of the restless spirits. Bizarre goat-like creatures have been reported from this Holy Hill Church, and the goat man, bear wolf, the list is pretty weird here. But what I find interesting is that it correlates with this idea that these ley line points, these energy pathways, are a place of significance for churches to establish a dominance in the region, almost like what we talked about on Strange PA, Pete, where it kind of like generates, like it's pulsating energy and directing it maybe to places it naturally shouldn't go. So just something interesting to throw out there about this Mysteries of Holy Hill. I mean, there's quite a bit of information on it. People are traveling there for a bunch of different reasons, but the first Catholics were from the 17th century. They were the Jesuit missionaries who made their stand on the land there. So just found that to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. You also have the Man Mound, a man-shaped mound near Baraboo, Wisconsin. That's not too far from me. Depicting a horned deity from the dimension of spirits, or maybe a shaman wearing a headdress. It is the only surviving anthropomorphic effigy mound in North America. It says, again, from Wisconsinology.com, there were once five, and they were all in Wisconsin.
So that makes me think, just making a connection here as we're literally talking about this, if these effigies are popping up, and I don't think that it's going to slow down. Everybody's aware of the snake mounds in Ohio. Now Wisconsin is being credited as possibly the largest amount of dirt effigies in the country. That list may continue to grow. I think we'd be surprised to find that there's a lot of weird stuff going on wherever you listeners are. It's probably happening not too far from you. But what if we were able to track and just lay out a blueprint, Pete, of where these churches of old are established? And what if there is within, let's say, a 50-mile shot of that, things that could be considered entryways or portals that have a direct correlation with the dirt effigies? Because in my suspicion, the water spirits and the, I've heard it rumored that the last stronghold of the Nephilim bases, the actual Nephilim bases, not the domes, are underwater, right? There's like this water connection there. So I just think maybe there's some connection between where these churches of old have been established, or Freemasonry buildings, or even government buildings, unfortunately. Where does that connect with these dirt effigies? Because you guys are not far from Chicago, where we have the smiley face killers are very renowned in that region. They dump bodies in water. It's happening all over the place, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud right now.
Yeah, no, there's a lot there. So yeah, you have water spirits that I learned a good deal from when we had Dr. Laura on the show. She tells some stories about that. So definitely revisit that episode. But, yeah. And so we're surrounded by the Great Lakes, you know, and, you know, again, it is speculation, but it would be interesting to look into that, because we know that there are, ways of laying out, a city or planning, just like Washington, D.C. with all of its, occult Freemasonic, significance to how that is laid out. So what if these mounds or different buildings were laid out in such a pattern too? I mean, we know about the astronomical significance of certain structures, megaliths that were tied to, you know, say the equinox. Certain constellations were, you know, only visible in this certain time of year, and this mound or this building, you know, you're able to see exactly a certain thing, right? So the ancients had this understanding of the land and using it in ways that maybe open things up dimensionally into the spirit world. Yeah. So a few other stories before we kind of, pull the veil back on that, as Rod is kind of teasing us with some of these things that might go far, far deeper than we can touch on today. So again, you've all heard about, you know, stories of somebody getting murdered in, a home and having a haunting because of that atrocity. Well, here's one from, a mansion, built on Holy Cross Hill in Merrill, Wisconsin. And it was said that the mansion was built on the grave of an Indian princess who was raped by a white man and died in childbirth. Her grieving father, a shaman or chief, buried her corpse atop the hill and placed a curse on any white man who would inhabit it. And a construction of this mansion, the T.B. Scott Mansion, was built on this hill high above the Wisconsin River in 1884. And it says, in the next 30 years, a string of bad luck and ill fortune fell upon many associated with the property. Here we have Max Knoll and the Underwater Necropolis. So again, huge shout out to Frank with his website. Guys, go check it out. Lots of interesting info and his podcast episodes as well. So let's look at a bit of this. So Max Gene Knoll is a deep sea diver a salvage diver, adventurer, MIT grad, and Milwaukee native. So he made the news in the diving world in Milwaukee. The deepest dive made international news, and its young diver was suddenly an international celebrity. Let's see, it was winter of 1937 when he tested his suit and a pioneering scuba apparatus that he built. So I assume it was around the 1930s or 40s when he became famous for this. For years, fishermen and pleasure boaters had reported seeing unusual underwater structures in Rock Lake. Stories of a necropolis, which I got to look that word up, Rod. I'm not even sure what that means. From an ancient native civilization lying at the bottom of Rock Lake had been around for some time. The structures were first described as pyramidal in shape in newspaper articles during a wave of pyramid mania that swept the Badger State in the early 1900s. So Max Noel couldn't resist. He made a series of test dives that summer. And let's see, towards the end of his last dive, he came across a tall pyramid structure made of densely fitted small rocks. To the eye of this trained engineer, the structure was man-made. And academia blew off his...
Welcome to the Lost Roman Heroes podcast. My name is Matthew.
And my name is Matteo.
We are serious nerds for Rome, and we are father and son.
Together on the Lost Roman Heroes podcast, we dive deep into the history of Rome, from its origin story starring Aeneas of Troy to its death with Constantine the 11th, uncovering Rome's greatest heroes along the way and ranking them.
There are plenty of great podcasts on the big men in Rome's history, guys like Caesar, Augustus, and Constantine, but that's not us. We're making this podcast to shed a light on Rome's forgotten heroes. From Cincinnatus to Scipio, from Aurelian to Belisarius and beyond, you will not believe the gems that we uncover. So please come join the Legion of Lost Roman Heroes and listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or find us at www.lostromanheroes.com.
Reports, but Max wanted to return to the lake and do more of a survey. Wow, what could that be?
Necropolis.
Did you look that up?
Yes, I did. It means the city of the dead. But when we look at it in a modern term, it's a cemetery, especially a large one belonging to an ancient city. So it's attributing some ancient involvement in the land. And this is where, yes, I am teasing the idea because I'm, you know, kind of jumping out of my chair with things that are a bit ahead of the conversation right now. Guilty as charged. But when we look at the idea that where these defilements of the land have, let's say, charged up the region, there's a pecking order in the spirit, just like there's angels that are faithful to the Most High God. There's messengers, there's protectors, throne guardians. Well, also, we know that Satan parallels that. He has his own fallen, weakened state of order, if I can even say it that way. And what I think is happening, Pete, and this is just my opinion from looking at things from outside the box and not being afraid to talk about the weird things that go on in my mind. But what if, you know, these claims of this house is haunted or this piece of land is haunted, it's on a minor scale. It seems to be most of the time a reoccurring haunting, right, of something that took place. But what if the larger establishments in the region, like a church built where there's obviously churches were designed to be a dwelling place for believers to come together. We know that ancient churches were also built with special designs in mind that could reverberate frequencies, vibrations to attribute to healing or canceling out bad things, so on and so forth. I mean, the materials they used were also a big deal as well, if you actually get down into the study. So what if these larger establishments on necropolises, ancient locations of the dead, are feeding some of these smaller reoccurring hauntings in the region, almost like it's a web that is so finely connected. I guess you could say a spider of darkness is making quite an impressive spread over the land, right? I mean, use your imagination here. But why do reoccurring hauntings happen, right? And it's like we played with this idea of, well, older houses are made of stone, typically not stick and board like we see new construction. So those natural materials, we know they can hold information. I mean, I believe it even before it was scientifically proven. Dr. Robert Roditch talked about when he was younger, it was really common to have radio boxes that had a crystal, and that crystal could actually pick up and broadcast from other local actual radio outputs, right? So a natural piece of material can pick up a frequency and broadcast it right there to the person playing around with this crystal radio set from back in the day. So it just makes me think, is that this anecdotal stuff we're talking about, these houses or these lodges, churches, these establishments, are they feeding into each other, right? And I think my hypothesis on this connects then also, Pete, to our heart being a door and a gateway, right? Like we have this ability to allow things or to say, no, I'm shutting down shop. My region, my household, the land where my heel touches down is no longer going to be for the enemy. And this is where I believe repentance comes in. I'm going to sound a little bit different here for a second, but I believe repentance is turning from the wicked ways, right? A lot of the times in modern Christianity, and not to dog on them, I support anybody who preaches the gospel, him resurrected on the third day, who gave his life, this Lamb of God that we wish to worship, who was continually revealing himself to us. Well, what he had conquered, what he established, I believe gives us the individual right to choose him and to make choices, Pete, where it's like, I'm not going to contribute personally, because somebody out there might feel alone. Like, well, my church doesn't talk about what Rod and Pete talk about, or they don't understand the concept. It may start with you. You're the head, you're not the tail. So you as a listener, you can literally make this choice. You know, repentance is not some mental capacity where I'm just going to say, oh, forgive me for my sins. Yes, we want to be repentive in that way. But it should manifest to how we live our life, actually letting go of these bondages of iniquity, forgiving people, and just becoming malleable, becoming clay in the Creator's hand. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I think it's important.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, it's helpful to know, too, that even if we aren't the ones who committed some of these atrocities on the land, that we can, on behalf of others, on behalf of the land, appeal to God to close these doorways, to heal the area. And I'm just encouraged with, again, Dr. Laura and her team that has done with spiritual mapping, you know, going into a school that has a bunch of suicides and finding that there was an actual dimensional portal in there, and they were able to close that down. So we have that capacity and authority because, again, as we're talking about all this weird stuff, it's important to remember God's supremacy over all these spirits, creatures, and entities. That, you know, they're not afraid of Buddha or Hindu, or, you know, any of the pantheon of gods involved with Hinduism or, you know, Islam. None of these things threaten the kingdom of darkness. And in many ways, they're part of it. But the name of Jesus makes them tremble. And then to Rod's point, the fact that we can turn ourselves to God in repentance and make a difference. You know, go back and listen to the old episodes we had with Tim Bentz talking about the gatekeeping principle, where there is, to probably variable degrees, depending on the person, how God set it up. As a believer, we can invite a spirit of whatever sin that we're allowing in our heart and mind, we can invite that into our house or our city. And those that don't have the Holy Spirit's restraint then go out and commit those same things that maybe we just thought about, and affects in greater ways, in greater atrocities, because they don't have the restraint of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot to this.
Well, in the evidence, so building completely on what you're saying, we're showing both sides of it right now. The legend of Whitewater, here's another place that has, it was Morris and Pratt's School of Spiritualism, where students talked with the dead. So we literally have the enemy setting up and teaching children to speak with the dead in Wisconsin. Here on this episode, we're showing that we can set up a place of worship to the one true God, and we can reverse the curse. Oh, I don't know if we can break the chains, right? So it's like not being overwhelmed or scared. I mean, the list goes on and on about what the enemy's doing, but I think really the days that we're living in, there's not too many Noahs out there, but if you're a Noah, right, we're living in the days of Noah, I think it would be a really good time to build this ark. And that is all based on what Jesus did, the blood that was shed for us. So, you know, we talked about these defilements, right? These four categories. So just to counter that a little bit with what you can do right now is me and Pete are kind of breaking down this idea of repentance, right? Taking acknowledgement to your region, the atrocities that were established there, the generational repentance, and that individual choice, because the evidence is all around you guys.
Oh, it is. It's all around. Right. I had the thought just a moment ago as you're talking. This spirit world is so evident. Right? So what's the saying? All publicity is good publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Okay. So if you've got myriad examples of manifestations of evil in the world beyond the human realm, right? Beyond what we're even capable of or can even conceive of doing or seeing. What does that tell us about the nature of reality? That points to a spiritual reality that is perhaps more real than what we're used to seeing. And that points to God, that there is a good side and an evil side. However, the good side isn't like yin-yang, you know, equality and balance. No, the good side is far outweighing it, but there's principles involved. You know, I think the more we the more we let God control us in willing, humble obedience, right? Being used as a cracked clay pot for him. It seems like the more God invades our world, but this is our dominion that he gave us in his sovereignty. And we have a sovereign will, and the demonic world really can't do a whole lot unless we abdicate our sovereign will to them. So there's a lot of responsibility there. Maybe let's talk about a few more stories. And then, yeah, I love that we're kind of opening up these different ideas and principles too. So we had Bill Schneblin on the show back in episode 50 and 51, and he was a Wisconsin native for about 10 years in the Milwaukee area. Some of that time back when he was a witch before he came to Christ. But he has a story on our show with him of the Wendigo up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, when he was about 12 and he was out by the lake at night and saw the figure of a man, shadowy and something like 1,000 feet tall, he said, kind of walking across the lake and right over his head. And when it happened, it was like there wasn't a sound at all. Like no crickets, none of the night sounds that you would normally hear. And then the wind, just that sound of the wind would happen. And then there's another story of that on episode 342 of a show called Paranormal Mysteries, where a young woman as a child had had seen an 8-foot tall, bear-like, shaggy creature with long horns, like antlers, eating something in the snow. She saw the red blood in the snow, and it chased her all the way back to her house. And as an adult, she came back to that same spot. This was up in Door County, Wisconsin. And I don't know how brave she would be, but she did this again out by herself. And again, hearing this hissing wind that she said sounded like unearthly laughter, and this creature again chasing her. You know, one of the things Bill Schnebelin mentioned too is the North Woods of Wisconsin, and talking about these blasphemous rituals that are known to go on there, that out in the wilderness, away from prying eyes, that maybe different occult, witchcraft, satanic rituals and things are done. And again, you got all these effigy mounds all over. I mean, Fritz Zimmerman in his book on the burial mounds that he discovered all over the country, he had some really spooky experiences. I mean, guys, go listen to his episode on Blurry Creatures talking about some of that, where, you know, the steering wheel of his car was moving on its own, or he heard a voice when there was no one around. Just really creepy stuff happening around these mounds.
Just not that I'm advocating that you guys should check this out by any means, but we're all familiar with Netflix, hopefully becoming less familiar as these things start to make more sense and not supporting that which has a root of darkness. But there's a hit TV show called Supernatural, and they definitely use Wisconsin a number of times for their stories on this TV show. You know, they're hunting for demons, ghosts, and monsters. So this folklore, here's another thing that we got to consider. The eyewitness testimonies. If you have enough eyewitness testimonies in a region that it sparks a hit supernatural show like Supernatural to come out there and do repetitive stories in that region, they're putting it right in your face. See, one of the things the enemy doesn't do is they don't tell you how it connects and what the repercussion is for your involvement, what that's actually going to do to your region, and it will knock on your door eventually. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. He needs your agreement for you to be entertained by those kind of things. And just to, you know, it's like what the occult does, man. They just need to show you just enough that you think it's entertainment so that you accept the idea. Now that's planted subconsciously, and you are literally taking what is holy for God, because we shall worship the Lord our God with our mind, our body, and our soul. So I think that if we're entertaining this stuff in an unholy way, there's an open door. That's my opinion, because people would say, oh, Rod, but you spend time talking about this. There's a difference between exposing the darkness versus entertaining the darkness. So the reason I bring up this hit Netflix show is because many of you out there may have watched it or choose to still watch it. But we want you guys to be well equipped. We want to do what we feel like the calling is, and that's bring insights to these things through the biblical filter. And, you know, having the Holy Spirit, I am continually probed to be in humility and in just the voice of reason. Like, you guys, this is deeper. This is true. This is honest. And we need to really bring it to the Lord in prayer, because I think that what's coming, we have to understand what it's not, so we're ready with an open mind to accept what it is.
And it's important, I think, Rod, you would agree that even ourselves as hosts of talking about supernatural things, we have to remind ourselves that some of these things are, our flesh really gets interested in some of these things, not necessarily in a bad way, but if that's the only motivation, if it's just soulish, if it's just sensational, and it can get really easy to kind of cut out the big picture that God is sovereign over it, and he doesn't want us to just know these things for the sake of knowing them, you know, but to point to him and a larger spiritual supernatural reality, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Because when we do that, now we have less stumbling blocks to be like, well, this fits in. I can't bounce back to this idea that, oh, there's some sacred secular divide between all this stuff that, I mean, come on, Pete, people are capturing it on video.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is all of it true? Absolutely not. There's a lot of it made up, CGI, whatever you want to call it, whatever the technology is that they're using now to fake these videos. But I'm telling you, man, I've sat in front of people who've had eyewitness encounters with just about everything. A lot of these people will not come on air. There's still this lingering emotion that they express to me in certain ways about being laughed out of town. And I'm going, no, the tides are turning. You know, we have people in very peculiar places that are taking acknowledgement to the fact that the veil is thinning and these spiritual things are active and becoming defined. And so I just want to encourage you guys out there that, you know, if you're dealing with this kind of stuff, if you're on the front line in a way where the supernatural is becoming real to you, you're taking notice to things, your region is infected with, you know, similar stories to what me and Peter are talking about here regarding Wisconsin tonight, you know, to not be afraid, right? Because one thing is they need your fear also. And I have a whole thing on that I'm not going to get into right now. But Wisconsin has this ancient defilement. Not only is there defilement from the American civilization, but we know that there was murder and rape and all types of terrible things that happened because of the culture that was here before us, this American Indian culture. And one thing that I found interesting, you mentioned off air about Chief Joseph Riverwind.
Yes.
Right? I'm supposed to be actually reaching out to him.
Nice.
So I'm excited to get his perspective on all this stuff. But even he says, listen, we didn't build these mounds. And I'm not going to go into it further. I'll let him make that declaration and give us a breakdown when he comes on in the near future. But, you know, there's a defilement, you guys, that goes back much further than the History Channel would like to admit. So having this filter where it's like, man, how does this connect? How does it get exposed so that way we can actually know our position and how to combat it? That's the heart of this podcast. Pete, Wisconsin's a huge state, and the surrounding area with the same model of thought that we've laid down so far, it's interconnected, right? Through waterways, through portals, energy trafficking, and the land. I think that these burial mounds, I think that there's big ones that were catching glimpse of, but I think that there's smaller ones from region to region that somehow interlocked. Derek Gilbert talks about the dolmens, you know, that there's like tons of them over in Israel, and that there are these rock effigies or slabs of rock that are attributed to, you know, these dead, dark bloodlines. And I'm like, dude, I see that as a portal, a traveling way for entities to literally come through. That's my thought. No, people don't have to agree with me on that. But when I see something dedicated to darkness, I think that, you know, these little people, the big people, Nephilim spirits, whatever you want to call it, they can traffic and use a highway system through the natural material. Now, I'm going to finish up with this because I had NASA Dave on recently, and he's talking about bringing the understanding that when we think there's some separation between electronic equipment and us, we're like, oh no, a computer's these materials, you know, you have copper, you have gold, you have, you know, these plastics, all this different stuff that technology is constructed out of. But that stuff has been mined and assembled out of the same earth that we walk on and we live on. And the Bible says, not my opinion, the Bible says that man was taken from the dirt of the earth, the dust of the ground, and the spirit of God, the Ruach, was breathed into mankind as God molded the original Adam. So I'm starting to think, okay, so not only do we have the natural form that me and you are expressing here, Pete, as these energy pathways, ley lines, the connection between reoccurring hauntings and how material can kind of absorb that energy and reblast it. Maybe when a rainstorm comes in, because there's a lot of energy moving up top. I mean, there's a ton of theories, but now we have technology. We have like 5G towers. We have all this technology. The premises of the Millennium Mustard Seed, a million messages and a million signals causing confusion and chaos. And here we are taking this journey together, uncovering this stuff to try to fit it into the big picture of how it makes sense and what we're supposed to do with it.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning Chief Joseph too. You know, one or two things from his episode, I think it was 65 with Blurry Creatures with his wife. was talking about these mounds. You're right. They said, we didn't build these things. It wasn't the Native Americans. And when we talk about defilement on the land, his wife, Lara Lynn, says that many of these giants were known to be very sexually deviant, and extreme bloodshed and violence and sacrifices, and of course, idolatry, because this is the same pantheon of God religion, right, that the Nephilim had thousands of years ago. These ancient Canaanite and other society religions, right? So that same thing is here. So if we look back at our list of defilement, the broken covenant, idolatry, the sexual perversion, and the bloodshed, we've got 3 out of 4 right there, if not a 4 out of 4, with what these giants were doing, right? And think about, you know, I told Frank on the phone the other day, and again, he was skeptical about the giants, but I told him about the story of the Temecuans in Jekyll Island, where Tim Bence went down and dealt with that ancient Canaanite altar and seeing the paintings on the wall in the museum there and saying, this does not look like Native American, attire and weaponry and the altar. He says, this looks like these altars that I've dealt with over in the Middle East. And if you recall that story, the French were so terrified by what they saw these giant tribesmen doing, whatever it was, the atrocities, they fled to Florida in the dead of night. They founded America's oldest city, St. Augustine. So these things went on. And one thing that I want to point out too, it's a little bit of a sidebar, but I just thought it was such a great story that the chief and his wife told. You know, I've always believed that God being loving and just, you wonder about these people that are steeped in paganism, that have never heard the gospel of Christ. Maybe they're in a remote part of the world. And you wonder, is there any hope for salvation for them? And I love this story because she talks about the little people that wore white that would fly across the lake and speak to the medicine man and tell them of knowledge. And one particular night, they wanted to speak to the whole village. And it was a very special night, they said, because the most holy man who has ever lived and will ever live has just been born. And there was a star in the sky, the Star of Bethlehem. You guys know what I mean. Christ the Messiah was born. And here it is in a way that they can understand God is speaking to them through these spirit beings. I just think that's just so amazing of God reaching out. And if we are open, no matter what remote area we're in or what sort of pagan culture we're in, if we are open to God, the Creator, as Paul says, it is plainly known by the creation, so that we are without excuse. If we are open to that general revelation, God will give us more revelation.
That's a really good point. And I think just to bolt onto that real quick, there's a difference between the bride of Christ and the kingdom, which is coming. To be a bride, if you don't know what that looks like, I challenge you guys to dive deeper into that. But to be a bride of Christ is the calling for this generation in this time. In my opinion, everything that's going on right now, you know, and it's technology that's allowing us to do this podcast, Pete. It's technology that's giving us the ability to capture this conversation and to broadcast it to all those thousands of people out there that listen. And for them to be able to chew on a little bit of fat while still being encouraged and being able to compartmentalize how some of this dark stuff is being exposed, why it's being exposed, and what we're supposed to do with it. And really, how else could we be separate from times past? Because everything is the same under the sun. Nothing new, right? Solomon talks about. But this generation is peculiar because of technology. So just putting that nugget out there. And then Pete, what is your thoughts with what I just said there? And then anything else that you want to dive into?
Yeah, it is. It's a crazy time to be alive, really. You think about things really coming to a head, where in the information age of the internet, where, yeah, we can have this broadcast, we can connect in ways that we never could. We can get on a show like this and record with equipment and put it out to people that we'll never meet in this side of eternity, and have a voice and hopefully spread God's truth as we seek into these things. I think that's just incredible. But I also think the enemy is stepping up their game, knowing that people are waking up to the agenda of the New World Order, one religion, everything that's being pushed towards fulfilling biblical prophecy. You know, there's a few more things in Wisconsin I want to mention that might have spiritual reverberations in this area towards a evil presence, towards, you know, more defilement on the land. You know, you have the 1960s, the rebellion against, you know, traditional Christianity in a lot of ways, right? People throwing off the moral codes that they had learned from their parents. And Madison, Wisconsin being in the forefront of that, along with the, you know, the being known as a very liberal city, very the protests that were going on. There's a lot of defiance. And I'm not saying all of that was bad or some of their causes weren't just. But I wonder how far that goes. And it's no surprise that the Freedom From Religion Foundation, their headquarters is in Madison.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I told an anecdote where they were at the hotel I used to work at, and my manager said the group's leader of that event had a fierceness to his face that was scary, she said. And I kind of ticked them off because I put, from Ray Comfort's website, he has these pressed copper pennies with the Ten Commandments on them. And when they were out on their lunch break, I stuck all these copper pennies in between their t-shirts and their, you know, I lost faith in faith. Yeah. And, God, or the Bible, a grand fairy tale, all these blasphemous things. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to stick these little Ten Commandments in here. And fortunately, they didn't find out it was me. But yeah, my manager did not have to lie. She did not have to lie because I never told her, but he did confront her about it. He was not happy.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'm not recommending that, but that was my.
Well, if the pennies were pure copper, maybe you were, without knowing, Pete, setting up an electromagnetic frequency blocker in the region.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Monzo.
I never thought of that.
If the penny, it depends on the age of the penny, right? Because we know that they're not made of pure copper.
That's right. It might have been zinc.
But, you know, not to get into that topic, but for you guys over at the Days of Noah podcast, if you didn't hear about Dr. Monzo's episodes with me so far and the significance of copper.
That's right.
Yeah. Just going to leave that one right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
dude, I'm on like week 2.5 with the copper, and yeah, definitely. Let's go.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having Dr. Monzo on. I sent him a couple dates. Yeah, and another thing in Wisconsin, okay, you've got the Circle Sanctuary, which is and established in the 70s, formed in Madison, Wisconsin, as a group of pagans and witches. It's a coven that's probably international by this point that was started. Bill Schneblin mentioned that to us, about that circle group. So yeah, there's a lot that Wisconsin is known for that, you know, really gives power and freedom to the enemy, let's be honest. But we serve a God that is over all of that. And, you know, let's not be unaware of the devil's schemes. And let's do what we can to pray against these things and pray for the people that are involved. You know, I think of a mini episode I did where I was on the way back home, out playing tennis or something, and I stopped in front of the local Masonic Center, and just praying for and over that building and the people there. One thing that I want to mention that's encouraging, Rod, as I was preparing for our chat, is I looked up statistics on Freemasonry across the country. And I think this is actually encouraging. Okay, so this lists the membership across all 50 states. And it shows the stats from 2018 to 2023, the membership each year in each state. And then at the end of the tally, it says gain or loss over 30 years. So they're, I guess, looking back, let's say 1993, right? Here's what's encouraging to me as a Christian. Every single one of these states has lost thousands of members since then. The total membership over 30 years is down across the country, 1.46 million. Now, I think that's encouraging, but that doesn't mean that people whose father or grandfather was in Freemasonry doesn't have generational issues they still have to deal with. These things can reverberate to the third and fourth generation, as God says in his word. So I'm currently going through Ron Horner's book on overcoming the spiritual implications of Freemasonry. And just in case I have anything in my family history, I'm going through each degree. There is a chapter and prayers to renounce those things.
My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Proverbs 4:20 through 27. We know that the way to Christ is narrow, and it can be tight, and it can be difficult, and you can feel like you're alone at times. And the way of the world is broad, and it leads to destruction. And a lot of people that are on that broad path don't know it yet. So I want to wind down by just encouraging you guys to stay on that straight and narrow. And it's not just with our words that we convince people that God is good and that he is who he says he is, but it's also by our lifestyle. So in my humility, as God is continuing to work things out in me and to correct me, sometimes the spankings do not feel so good. But I'd rather be corrected now and to walk in humility and to know where my power and strength comes from than to be sequacious and just go with the flow and stumble along in the easy direction.
And he chastises those he loves, right?
That he does. Yes. So let's enter in through the doorway, the correct doorway, which is Yeshua. And you guys, I know that these episodes are helpful. We've gotten the feedback over the years, and episodes like this, teaming up with Pete to, you know, kind of cross-pollinate each other's listeners, but beyond that, to bring some hope and some clarity to someone who is sitting out there wrestling with, what do I do with my experience that's supernatural? Where does it fit in? Can I expose the darkness? Will God be there with me? I am a standing testament that God is who he says he is. And though many have come for my life and there's many things that I have not talked about yet, God has established me because of his namesake, because of what he did. And that is available to you guys as well. And also take into consideration Pete's advice and warning that, you know what? The numbers of Freemasonry are shrinking since 1993. You may have a family member who has been involved in many different occultic activities, but we can break every chain.
Right.
The one name that is above all names gives us that ability. And Don't delay, you guys. We are living in strange times.
For sure. Yeah, thanks, Rod. This was great. And yeah, let's have that encouragement that, you know, we can use these stories to bridge the gap to people that may have no interest in the things of God, as we kind of live in a post-Christian society in a lot of ways. We can open the door and say, hey, we just did an episode about X, Y, and Z, or come listen to this show. They talk about some weird things. It's really good. And then, you know, they can hear, hopefully, some words of truth as Rod is quoting scripture, right? That living, powerful, never-ending word that pierces to the heart. Hopefully we can encourage you with that.
Well, this is Rod from the Days of Noah podcast.
And Pete from the Millennial Mustard Seed.
And before we trade back and gain each other's shows back to his rightful owner, we just thank you guys for being here with us. And in humility, we ask you to like, share, and subscribe. You can help us find one more person just like me and you by sharing this episode with your friends, family member, with your pastor, and with your doctor. Coming to you from southeastern Pennsylvania
and southern Wisconsin.
God bless and goodbye.